Tony, we had a young man that was going to be joining us this morning. He's like the godfather of the church in Perth. So why don't we make him welcome? That's a real understatement, to be honest, but there's so much I can say about Pastor Fred Anderson. But you got the word of God, so why don't you come and bring it, Pastor Fred? Let's make him welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to stand up here for the first time and look around and see so many people. I haven't preached to this many people for I don't know how long. And it's a real privilege to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning for many reasons. But we've just celebrated Australia Day, and the Christian community, of course, celebrate the name given to this land, the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit. You know all of that story. Wait till you see what I do for an encore. This is Pastor Kerry's copy, and I promise I'll get it back to him this week. Discovering Australia's Christian Heritage by Col Stringer. I'm sorry. You folks can go down. Are you hanging around? Oh, I do too. Yeah, I think we better go and we'll do something later. Thank you so much, folks. I'm sorry. The story of the discovery of Australia is in this book, Discovering Australia's Christian Heritage. And if you want a good read, please get hold of that, and not Pastor Kerry's copy, but get one from Coorong, and read it up, because this nation, in God's sight, is the nation of the Holy Spirit. No other nation in the world has ever been called the nation called Australia, the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit. No other nation in the world has had that title. And I thought you might have heard an amen or two around the place. But that's a real privilege. And I just believe that God has still got some great things to happen in our nation.
Amen.
Pastor Kerry asked me to speak on the, and to consider speaking on the subject, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And that's my favourite subject. And I'm very happy to oblige. But I wanted to start this morning with an intro on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and just give you a quick overview of where we've come from and where we've arrived at now, and where I believe, I'm not going to say what God is going to do because I don't know, but where I believe God is taking us. The original vision for this church was given to me in 1976, and it was inspired by a verse in Isaiah chapter 54. Two verses. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitation or your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And then ultimately from that whole chapter came the fivefold vision that most of you, I'm sure, know about. But let me just rehearse it for you. The first of the vision was given to me was for a church of 2,000 people. Now, folks, in 1976, a church of 120 was a big church. Shiloh Faith Centre, when we came to Forestfield, Shiloh Faith Centre had about 120 people, and we thought that if we could build up our little congregation from 32, as it was then, to 120, we would have succeeded. But 12 months after we arrived, I received this vision, and God said, I want you to believe for a church of 2,000 people. I said, Lord, that's preposterous. That's ridiculous. 2,000 people. And it was so ridiculous. But it was so real. And I just knew that it was God's figure. So you don't argue with the Lord. The second part of the vision was for Christian education and Hillside School on 10 acres now, with around 300 students, is going fine. The third part was for a retirement village. 104 units we have right at the moment. Building another 21. An amen down there, I'm sure. Yes, from those people that are waiting for theirs. And we have the privilege of living in that now, in our retirement. So it's just so wonderful. Then there was, number four, was the video and television ministry. And this seemed so unlikely at the time as well. I said, Lord, video and television. But I didn't question. I wrote it down and I just knew that it was from God. The time came not long afterwards when we had a three-camera studio here operating in this church. We had two cameras on tripods and one on a shoulder pack. We had six people in a room over on the corner here running the studio. And we had a closed circuit television cable going through to the 53 units that were the first part of the village. And the residents there could just dial up channel one and they could watch the service and take part in the service morning and night. And that happened for about 20 odd years. Then the cable dismantled in the ground and things changed. But it really happened. One of the residents, called Bay Hammond, was an elderly man, but he had played saxophone in a dance band. And very soon after starting to watch our services, he got his saxophone out and in his unit was playing along with us and with our musicians for every service that he was watching. Then the time came when I had a word of knowledge and I said, there's somebody in the village. I looked down the camera lens, I said, there's somebody in the village. You have contracted cancer. I believe the Lord wants me to pray for you now and you're going to be healed. And Bay Hammond had just been diagnosed with cancer. He said, that's me, that's me. And he grabbed his wife's hand, and there was another Christian lady that was quite elderly and in the village, and she couldn't get to church, so he grabbed her hand. She was there watching with them because she didn't have television. And they stood up in front of the television, and I prayed. I believed that that was a word from the Lord, and Bay Hammond got healed of cancer through the television. Our team used to transport our gear into the Perth Concert Hall and into the Entertainment Centre and record conferences and so on. It was just a wonderful, wonderful expression. Then missions. There's so much more that I can't tell you about. Missions was the last, because the Baptist Church, when it was a Baptist church, they were involved in the Baptist missions overseas and local. And when they pulled out of the church union, we didn't have any missions outreach. So I believe that that was a good, healthy thing for the church. And God gave me that vision. So we started off 10%, but now I believe it's more like 32 or 33% or something. It's huge. And so I'm so rejoicing in the Lord that has become so. So the vision for this church is still alive, folks.
Amen.
It's still alive. God has not lifted his hand off it. I'm still believing for a church of 2,000 people. I'm still believing for Hillside School to continue to grow. I'm still believing for Walridge Country Estate to continue to grow. I'm still believing that the video and television ministry will be restored. I'm still believing that our missions endeavour will continue to grow. Amen. Now that's all history, but I want to bring you forward to July last year and the monthly prayer meeting where most of you will remember that I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for Pastor Kerry and commission him as an apostle to this church as well as to the wider body of Christ. There was such an anointing on that meeting, and the appointment was confirmed the next day when Pastor Kerry had five pastors ring him from various parts of the city asking for appointments to see him and to have fellowship with him. Later in that meeting, I was again prompted to read a word for the church from Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 on. 43. Let me read it to you. 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The main message from that scripture is, behold, I will do a new thing. And that's where I believe God wants me to commence this morning's meeting. God says, behold, I will do a new thing. And this is the time that I was supposed to have a sing. I'm sorry. Never mind. Time has gone. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2. I was a bit overcome. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Pastor Kerry's Christmas message was entitled, The Best Is Yet to Come. How many remember that Christmas message? That's right. The best is yet to come. And it was so memorable because it pointed to the greatest gift that God had in mind for all of creation, and that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. In that message, Pastor Kerry led us through all the stages of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord Jesus. But he still maintained that the best was yet to come, and he had us quoting that, didn't he? Pastor Kerry's closing remarks were an invitation for us all to experience the wonderful provision that God, our Heavenly Father, had made to bring us to himself and to live for him and with him in this life, with the expectation of living with him for eternity in heaven. And he shared that God offers us three wonderful things. First of all, he offers us repentance. He calls us to turn from our sinful living and seek his forgiveness. Secondly, he offers us cleansing from our sin. Not just repentance. He offers us the chance to be free from the guilt of our past and the chance to have every stain of sin removed. Thirdly, he offers us his Holy Spirit to live within us and to make Jesus real to us. And in John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus said before his ascension, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus said, he dwells with you and will be in you, to his disciples. I will not leave you orphans. Then he says, and a curious thing, I will come to you. saying the Holy Spirit's coming, and then he says, I will come to you. The lesson that we learn from this is that disciples had to adjust from the physical presence of Jesus. They had a real privilege, didn't they? We would love to be there. We would love to have Jesus walk in the door here in his physical human nature. And it would just be so wonderful. But we're more privileged than they were because we have him living within us. Hallelujah. Can you say that you have grasped this truth, that Jesus is living within you by the Holy Spirit? You have him living and dwelling within you and inspiring you. We think of the song we used to sing that's based on the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ. Then Pastor Kerry also introduced another dimension of the Holy Spirit that would be manifested after the ascension of Jesus. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear Pastor Kerry's final words at the end of his Christmas message. Hear these words from your pastor. To all you believers who have struggled this past year, to all of you who have wondered, what's the use? To all of you who have thought about giving up, about giving in, I say to you, don't go anywhere. The best is yet to come. To all of you who have been blessed, who have received good things from on high, to all of you who know you're better off at the end of 2017 than you were at the beginning, to all of you who know God has touched your lives in wonderful ways, to all of you, I say, you think that's good. Don't go anywhere. The best is yet to come. Good on you. And here it is, folks, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was the end of Pastor Kerry's message. Now, God has said that he's going to do something new. And I want to really couple that in with this message this morning. God is going to do something new. We've had it referred to this morning, right through the service. It's been exciting and thrilling for me and for Betty, I know. We've been nudging each other and so on. And Pastor Chrissy brought a scripture that I'm using this morning as well. So let's just indulge a little bit and tell you about our experience. Betty and I come from a traditional background. We were Salvationists, brought up in Salvation Army homes. Not children's homes, but Christian homes. And and Betty answered the call of God to full-time service in the Salvation Army in 1950. She went into Bible college, was ordained in 1951. And I accepted the call and went into college in 1953. So she's my senior. And I was ordained in January 1954. And in 1956, we married, and for another 16 years, or 13 years, I believe it was, we served God in the Salvation Army. But the time came when we were searching for more truth. We really had a hunger for the truth of God's Word, and we became convinced about believers' baptism. But it's not practiced in the Salvation Army, and there are reasons. They have their reasons, and that's fine. But we wanted to be baptized. And so some of you will remember Dennis and Rita Beardsley, who were pastors here, and very good friends of ours. And they were coming to the Salvation Army at Medina when we were stationed there. And we talked to them about baptism. And, of course, they were very helpful because there was no Assemblies of God down there. So they arranged for us to be baptized in the Assemblies of God in North Perth. And it had to be on a Tuesday night because we couldn't be out of our church on a Sunday. So we became baptized believers. And the dimension that God brought us into was quite dramatic to us. We felt as though God had brought us up to another level. in our walk with him because we had been obedient. And we also felt that it had made a difference to our marriage. We had a wonderful marriage, always have had. But we just felt like we came up to another level again. And so that was that. But unfortunately, the time came when we had to resign from the Salvation Army because of our convictions. So we became Baptists then. It was natural for us to just move into the Baptist ministry, and we knew a pastor from Perth called Pastor Ron Bottomley, and we spoke with him, and he got us into the system, so to speak, and we received an invitation to the Katanning Baptist Church. While we were in the Katanning Baptist Church, we were still searching for truth. And we became really fascinated with the subject of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost was coming, so as a dutiful pastor, I started preparing for Pentecost. And I got more than I bargained for, didn't I? But I remembered that in the Salvation Army, they have a crest, and the bandsmen have this crest on their caps, and it says at the bottom, blood and fire. And of course, the flag is red, yellow, and blue. The yellow stands for the Holy Spirit, the yellow star in the middle, the red for the blood of Christ, blue for sanctification. And so all of the emblems are there, but we didn't know the experience. And we used to sing songs like this one. The founder of the Salvation Army, actually, wrote this song. And it says, Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire. Folks, if I could tell you the number of times we sang that song, and we sang it, you know, it's a rousing sort of song. And it's directly asking for another Pentecost. And yet we never experienced it. Look at this verse. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire. To make us fit to live or die, send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in. The revolution now begin. Send the fire. But we never had a revolution. We sang it heartily, but it never happened. And yet I've found since I left the Salvation Army and done a study on the history, they were more Pentecostal than any Pentecostal church I know of today in their history. What a shame that it just slipped away. 'Tis fire we want, for fire we plead. And so that was our experience. But we came into that experience when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We came up to Perth and attended some meetings by where Pastor Trevor Chandler was the guest speaker at the Gospel Lighthouse in Vic Park. And of course, we had the same reservations that many evangelical people have and traditional people have. This tongues business, my goodness, we were not sure about tongues. We'd heard that tongues are from the devil, and yet they happened at Pentecost. So how could they be from the devil? And anyway, we searched through it, and we got to the point where we said, Lord, you are obviously calling us to this experience, and we want that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it costs, whatever it means, we know that we must have it. And so we came up to a meeting. We had the first meeting, and we have never heard singing like it in that meeting. Now, Katanning Baptist Church was a great singing church, but my goodness, that singing we heard in the Gospel Lighthouse was something again. So the second night we turned up and we stopped outside under a tree in the shade. People might have thought we were parking, but we were just wrapped our arms around each other and we just prayed and said, Lord, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are trusting you to give us a genuine experience of the Holy Spirit And if that involves tongues or whatever it does, then, Lord, it's got to be from you and it's got to be genuine. We are trusting you to do that for us. We went into the service, and when the time came and he invited people to come forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, still remember the message that he preached that night as well as anything. And we came forward, and he came straight down through the people. We talked to him in the morning, and he started praying for Betty, and Betty began to flow in a beautiful tongue language. It sounded to me a little bit like French. It had a bit of a twang about it, you know, real sophisticated sort of twang. And I thought, that's got to be genuine, because my wife is the most cautious person this side and the other side of the Black Stump. So she has received it, so I'm going to receive it too. And I opened myself up, and God just blessed me with the Holy Spirit. I felt like I was floating up into the clouds. And instead, my whole 16 stone of me was flat out on my back down the aisle. And I was speaking in tongues. And I was there for I don't know how long. But our experience, that's how we had that experience. And I have to say again that that brought us up to another level, not only spiritually and as far as the Word of God is concerned and our preaching and our ministry was concerned, but it also blessed our marriage. We were both taking steps at a time, and it just enriched our marriage so greatly. Folks, if you're not together in the Christian walk, then you're missing so much. If you're not together in your decisions to be baptized and recognizing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're missing something. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you and your wife are ready to, you know, to be candidates, but you're not sure, I want to tell you that one of the great benefits is that your marriage is going to come into a new dimension. I promise you that that is the case. So God did something new for us in that experience. Well, let's get to now to the Word of God. And the first point that I want to make this morning is that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, then it's reasonable that we should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was prophesied in chapter 9 of Isaiah. His birth was prophesied. And in chapter 11, it's prophesied that he would be filled with the Spirit. It says there, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." I want you to note these qualities of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding first. Then the Spirit of counsel and might. And thirdly, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Tempted to stay on that, but I can't do that. Isaiah 42 verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him." And then there's Jesus' own testimony after he returned from the temptation in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4 and verses 16 to 21. Let me just read it for you. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Sorry, I haven't got the overhead thing going and so on, but anyway. It's up, is it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that was the testimony of Jesus, and he wants us to have that same testimony. Every believer in his church, he wants us to have that testimony. And I can say, the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. I can declare to you, with thanksgiving to God, I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I keep getting filled with the Holy Spirit because that's what is available to me. Now, how about you? That's what God wants for you. Can you say that? I have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Now, God did something new. We had never heard of that scripture then, when we were going through our experience, the scripture from Isaiah. We had never, didn't understand it, didn't know it, that God would do something new. But then he did it, and he did that new thing. Now, I believe he wants to do it for us today. The second point I want to make, that Jesus has ordained that the church, his church, experience the same baptism with the Holy Spirit. Not only Pentecostal churches and charismatic churches, but his church, his whole church, which covers every denomination that own the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He wants us to experience that baptism with the Holy Spirit. In our early experience of the charismatic renewal in Perth, we had Catholic Christians that used to meet at the Catholic Redemptionist Monastery in North Perth, and we went to two or three of those prayer meetings, and what a wonderful time. It didn't matter that we were in a Catholic church, that they had their robes on and so on. We just had a glorious time in the presence of the Lord. I remember one of the brothers who was in our Perth Charismatic Ministers Fellowship, Canon John Abraham, an Anglican. He was a big shot, Canon John Abraham, and I didn't get that better, but he was a lovely brother, filled with the Holy Spirit, and just ministered. He used Jesus everywhere he went. There were Uniting Church folks and folks from the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all over, and God intended the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be for all churches and for all his people. And so that's what he wants to do for us here again this morning as well. I have an illustration for you. Some of you, how many know Pastor Isabel Patterson? Look at those hands. There's so many people that know Pastor Isabel Patterson. Well, when she was ministering with her husband Trevor, mainly in India, they were ministering to a large staff at one time of an orphanage and hostel in Manmad in India, where the leaders felt that they had reached a crisis point and that an outpouring from the presence of God was desperately needed. The mission was very cautious concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and especially regarding speaking in other tongues. They requested that no mention of tongues at all be made during the meetings. So Pastor Trevor asked if they would be willing to pray this prayer: Lord, please give us the Bible baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the result was that they did come through to that experience. They had no answer for that. It's the Bible teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here in this book, Dancing to the Tune, to the Ancient Love Song, we have a little bit about it. I'll take the time to read it for you. Lord, please give us the Bible baptism of the Holy Spirit. On arrival at the orphanage, they began 3 days of meetings with the staff who particularly wanted teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Trevor knew a great deal of prayer had gone into preparation for the meetings. A deep hunger was evident, and he and the team gave their best. From the outset, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were mightily evident. Many needs were revealed through the word of knowledge. Bondages were broken. Forgiveness for hurts caused was asked for and given, and then with that came healing of many griefs and sorrows. Soon the people began to enter into glorious liberty. One night, over 20 came forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At another point in the meetings, an Indian lady began singing a song of praise to the Lord. The song was so beautiful, with gloriously unearthly notes. Can I just read that again? The Indian lady began singing a song of praise to the Lord. The song was so beautiful, with gloriously unearthly notes, high and pure. Then another began to sing and found herself praising the Lord in other tongues. Then another and another. The Lord himself broke through the barriers. All had been encouraged to receive the Holy Spirit the Bible way, and many certainly did so, gently and beautifully. I just think that's a beautiful thing, and it's so confirming when you know the author of that experience. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what I'm presenting to you today, folks, is the Bible baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 29, verse 49, Jesus promised this: "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He gave this promise to the whole church, not to individuals only, but he gave it to the whole church. And I believe this is essential for us to grasp this. The whole church. It's imperative for us to grasp it. And it's almost like a command. You tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We need to, if necessary, tarry in Jerusalem, in our Jerusalem, until we are endued with power from on high. And God willing, at the end of this service, we will do some tarrying and we will ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us. In the fulfillment of that prophecy is in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. God says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams." Us old men can look forward to that, eh? "And your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." It was always God's intention for the whole church to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional extra, folks. I think for many, many years we've been functioning like it's an optional extra. We can get along with the Holy Spirit, and we can get along with the church in a good way, and we can be attractive to people and so on, and we can love them and win them and so on. But without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Spirit of God moving in us and through us in that way, we are limited in our effect. So it was always his intention for the whole church. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, we read these words. Chapter 1, 4 to 8. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and to the end of the earth. Look how positive the Holy Spirit is in the writer to the book of Acts is. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you haven't had the Holy Spirit come upon you in power, you are lacking that power. We are lacking that power. So it's so imperative. It's so necessary. And the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses. It's not there for us to just enjoy a glory time when we come to church. It's there for the purpose of making us witnesses in all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, even in Perth, Western Australia. So, this amazing event, you shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses. This was God's plan for the ages to come, following Christ. And this is how he wanted the church to be established and to function after his ascension. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. He could only be almost everything to everyone who believed in him and who wanted to serve him. But he was limited by his humanity. He wanted to be more than almost to his people. Jesus knew, and God knew, that as the church grew and multiplied, there had to be a better way for his people to experience the life and presence of Jesus, and therefore represent Jesus on the earth as his ambassadors. And as Paul says in Ephesians 3:14-21, and I was so excited when dear Chrissy read this passage of scripture from her translation during the communion time. Let me read it again to you. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So you see, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, but it's to make Jesus real to us. We sometimes, I think, fall short when we are thinking about the Holy Spirit, and we don't think so much about Jesus and his reality to us. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've battled to comprehend all of that. But we are to be filled. God wants us to be filled with all of his fullness, folks. Does that affect you this morning? Does that grab your attention this morning? God wants you to be filled and me to be filled with all of his fullness. That is huge. It's wonderful. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise God. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read these words, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Did you get a handle on that, folks? You are complete in him. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. God wants you to live a full Christian life like Jesus lived it. He doesn't want you to live a second-rate Christian life. He doesn't want you to be just paddling in the shallows, so to speak. He wants you to launch out into the deep, folks, and really understand and know the blessing of the fullness of God in your life. And that will come greatly through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The birth of the Church of Jesus Christ is my third point. Last night, while I was just going through my notes and praying and waiting on the Lord, I received a text from one of our elders. And I know that we're very casual sometimes in our reference to our leaders, but I want you to think of our leaders this morning with their position or with their title, because it's what they are. It's what God has ordained for this church, that we should have Pastor Kerry Pierce. And Pastor Kerry Pierce is now an apostle, so we could rightly call him Apostle Kerry Pierce, and that would be totally in order. We have an elder called David Bonanno, and he normally sits at the back of the church and keeps an eye on everybody. But I've got him sitting up on the front row today because he sent me this text last night. And I believe that you will be blessed as you hear it. I have asked him to come and read it for me, please. Hallelujah. Give him a welcome.
Just finished watching the cricket, because I love cricket, and the Lord just gave me a desire to contact Fred, because I knew he was preaching this morning, and it was going to be just a short verse to type the text into the telephone. The Holy Spirit just came on me, and I just kept typing, and this is what came out. Just had a sense I should contact you and let you know I feel a word from the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. It is my will that my people seek my face, seek my will, seek my heart. It's my desire to ignite my church with the fire of the Holy Spirit, to empower, to direct, to set them free in ministry, to show my power, to prove my authority, to anoint them with spiritual disciplines and to break the strongholds of religious observance and reveal how much it means that I have come to set the captive free, that they might know and understand where they stand in me and that they would only know how much I have released to them at Pentecost. And I went on to say that I was in prayer.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Lord. I've already read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and those words are very, very, very familiar to us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, folks, was poured out in a very dramatic way. There was first of all the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Then there were the tongues of fire that appeared and sat upon each of them. That must have been quite a sight. better than the fireworks of Friday, I guess. And then it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd not had this experience before. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in languages that were unknown to any of them. I counted 16 different nationalities that are mentioned in that passage who heard these disciples. But they all said they heard the disciples speaking the wonderful works of God. That's what they heard, the wonderful works of God. So it was confirming to them that it was a genuine experience. This is how they were convinced that this outpouring was genuine. I remember the late Pastor Les Garrett came back from South Africa once, and he told us about how he was teaching and preaching in a very remote area of South Africa, and they had brought an elderly man in from a real inner tribe that was very seldom visited by anybody. And so they brought this man in to these meetings in this remote area, and this little wizened up old man was sitting there in the meeting, didn't understand. Nobody knew his dialect, and he didn't understand what was going on. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Les Garrett began to speak in an unknown tongue, and he preached the gospel message in that man's dialect. The people that were there didn't even know what Pastor Garrett was talking about. He preached the gospel, and that man wanted to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. If that doesn't say that speaking in tongues is a genuine gift of God, I don't know what will. Praise the Lord. He said he understood, and he was saved. So I believe that Jesus had a very real purpose in birthing his church in this manner and with this overwhelming empowerment and ability to speak in other languages. But he had more benefits in mind, the use of tongues both individually and corporately. And sadly, we've been brought up with a real apprehension about the gift of tongues. But when you think that this is the way that God gave birth to the church, it was birthed in this way, in this manner, and the gift of tongues was used to convince people from so many nations that the Holy Spirit was real, that Jesus was real, and they heard them speaking the wonderful works of God. I believe that we need to get excited about this. I know that there's a lot of people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit who aren't hardly ever speak in tongues. I won't ask anybody to put up their hand right now, but first of all, how many people do we have in this room who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? A definite experience. That is amazing. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. So we've got a lot of people here, probably a third of this congregation, who have not received this wonderful, wonderful experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is how the church was born. I believe that God is going to move upon us in a new way today, and he's going to cause us to experience this wonderful, wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit just taking over our whole being, and even our language. Paul the Apostle is an amazing example of this experience. He was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was saved. We've sometimes not even mentioned the Holy Spirit until people have been saved and began to grow in the Lord. But when Ananias came and prayed for Saul, he said, "I've been called to come and to pray for you that you will receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so he received his sight and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says afterwards he was baptized. So he had no lessons. He had no other instruction. He just experienced those things. And then Paul, of course, encourages us to desire spiritual gifts, he says. And then he goes on to explain the benefits of tongues. He said, when you're speaking in tongues, you are speaking to God. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. I'll just read that quickly. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 and 2. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. We're speaking to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So we speak to God in tongues. We speak mysteries in tongues. And also he says that we edify ourselves when we speak in tongues. That's a wonderful blessing. I speak in tongues an awful lot, folks. I'm a real ratbag. Paul, the apostle, said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And the Amplified puts it even more emphatically and says, I speak in tongues more than you all put together. And I wouldn't dare to say that much, but I do. I just love to speak in tongues. It edifies me. I'm speaking mysteries to God. And I don't know whatever I'm talking about. Betty doesn't know what I'm talking about either, but sometimes. But when I'm speaking in tongues and speaking to the Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm getting built up in my spirit. It just helps me. When I'm driving, I'm either singing in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit. It just is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And it's something that I can do all the time. Also in that passage of Scripture, it says that speaking in tongues edifies the church. Haven't got time to deal with them all right now, but and singing in the Spirit as well. So it's a wonderful gift. And the Apostle Paul encourages us to enter into this dimension. And I'm just delighted to say that in the early part of our service today, when Kay was leading us and the team were leading us, we had some beautiful singing in the Spirit. That was just lovely. I didn't hear any people singing in tongues, but we were singing a song to the Lord. You know, and it's so good. The Word of God says, sing a new song to the Lord. Even back in Isaiah, it says, sing a song to the Lord. The Amplified says, sing a song such as has never been heard in the heathen world. God doesn't want to hear the worldly songs. He wants to hear his songs, songs that are inspired by the Spirit of God. And very shortly, we'll just start singing. And I want to encourage you to start singing in tongues, to start singing your own song to the Lord. Even if you're not singing in tongues, we can sing our own song to the Lord. He's just waiting for us to sing to him. All right. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, we read these words. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. So this is church, folks. It's speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. So we sing wonderful songs that have been programmed for us and been, composed for us, thank you. But we can compose our own songs to the Lord as well. And he wants to hear them. And he doesn't mind if we get a bit off key sometimes. He doesn't mind if our words don't rhyme. He just loves to hear us sing. When we have our little babies and we're training them, whatever they say, we think it's just beautiful. Why should our Heavenly Father be any different to that? Hallelujah. So, praise God. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you cannot say that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right here and now. Have you been baptized in water?
Yes.
Have you confessed the Lord in that water baptism? If not, we can arrange for that to happen. We haven't got the baptistry ready today, but we can arrange for that to happen. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When the apostles went to Ephesus, it's recorded in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. They said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so it seems like Paul was encouraging folks to have people accepting the Lord Jesus as their Savior and then straight away being filled with the Holy Spirit as well. It was all the process that they knew would help them to get their feet in spiritual things and become sound and become strong in the Lord. So, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If not, then we want to give you the opportunity today to receive the Holy Spirit. And folks, I'm not going to invite you to come out on the altar call or anything like that. I believe God wants to deal with us as a church. I believe He wants you to respond in your seat, where you are now, as part of the body. He wants you to respond to Him. He can cope with it. He can cope with it. And He wants you to respond to Him according to where you are at. You can receive Jesus today from in your seat. You can be committed to being water baptized in your seat right where you are. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right where you are. You can be, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you haven't been refilled and keeping on being filled with the Spirit, you can experience that filling of the Holy Spirit today. Let us pray. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, because you lead us into all truth. And we thank you, Lord, because you have led this church from the very beginning into the fullness of your truth and of your word. We thank you for the ministry that has been maintained from this pulpit and in this church. We thank you for the furtherance of the fivefold vision. We thank you, Lord, particularly for last July when your servant was commissioned as an apostle. And Lord, we just pray that you accept our thanks too, because that scripture from Isaiah that you gave to us last year, that we were, the former things had passed away. Behold, you were going to do something new and that it would spring forth now. Lord, we're asking that you bring it all together right now. And as a church, we are waiting before you that we might receive that anointing of your Holy Spirit. Church, would you stand with me, please? I realize you've been sitting for so long. Let's stand in his presence. So, Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just lead us at this time. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. I want the congregation, please, would you repeat this prayer after me to assist anyone here who is unsaved. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. I want to lead the congregation in a prayer. And we will pray with you as you accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you do this now? If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart right now, I want you to just to respond and allow the Spirit of God to come into your heart and life, and allow the cleansing blood of Jesus to be applied to your soul and your spirit, and that you would be turned inside out, born again of the Spirit of God. So for all those who would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, let's join in prayer with them, and we will pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to cleanse me and to fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I may learn the ways of Jesus and live my life for you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, if you accepted Jesus during that prayer, would you please come to the front after the service and let us be with you, let's talk to you and confirm you in your experience. Now, for folks who who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would like to pray for you, and I would like you to pray, as like the whole church to pray, that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we do, just don't be afraid to allow the Spirit of God as to move upon you, and you begin to praise Him and thank Him, and feel the unction of the Spirit to speak in tongues. Then you please do it. And let's experience it as a church. Those of us who know this experience, we will help you. We will be a comfort to you. You won't sound all difficult or funny or different, because we're all going to be speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And so we're going to be praising God. So let's ask the Holy Spirit now to come and baptize us. Or ask Jesus to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So all together now, dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I want to receive power to be your witness wherever I go and whatever I do. I want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit as often as possible. And I want to use the gifts of your Holy Spirit for your praise and for your glory. And right now I receive, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now let's give an offering of praise to the Lord. Let the gift of tongues operate. Praise the Lord. Last night, actually two words of knowledge. believe the Lord showed me that there would be a man in his 50s here today. You were brought up in a Christian home. You accepted Jesus as a child, but you turned your back on him as a teenager. You've lived a respectable life. You've had reasonable success in your work, but today you are feeling so empty, sad, and lonely. The Holy Spirit is saying, come home. Would that man be game enough to acknowledge that he's the man here today? I know that that man is here. I know it. I really want to pray for you, and I'd love for the whole congregation to pray for you, because this is a congregational thing this morning. Hallelujah. All right? We'll keep that in mind. There's also a teenage young lady. You're in your late teens, and you give everybody the impression that you are a committed Christian, but that's not the truth. And a verse for you is this: acknowledge him, Jesus, in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. You've had some real confusion in your life lately, and you need to make a rededication of your life to Jesus. Let's just bow in prayer, folks. I'd like to ask that man to acknowledge his need. I would like to ask that young lady to acknowledge her need today. Would you just raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. That man has raised his hand. God bless you, brother. Father, I just thank you for this dear man who's had the courage of his convictions. I pray that you just touch him afresh right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come upon him right now and give him such a revelation of Jesus that will take away all the preconceived ideas and all the excuses and all the imaginations of his heart. And Lord, give him a fresh, brand new start on the gospel road and on the Christian pathway. Thank you, Lord. I pray you anoint him with your Spirit right now and make him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for this young lady. I know that she's here. I pray for her, Lord, that you would just speak to her heart and show her how essential it is for her to respond to your heart for her. It's your heart, Lord, that's reaching out to her, wanting her to surrender her life totally to you, to allow you to guide her through the circumstances of life. Oh, I pray, Holy Spirit, touch her right now in the name of Jesus. And for the folks who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you would just do that work of regeneration in their hearts. Help them to know that they have been born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for that new thing that you are doing right now. Lord, we just believe that you're unfolding this on a continuing basis. We thank you for this time this morning. And we ask you, Lord, to lead us on. And Lord, that we will be ever willing and wanting to just rejoice in your presence and be filled with your Holy Spirit and be the church that you have ordained for us to be. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.